halachah of counting and the halachah of the minagi aveilut that's associated with Sfirat Ochrot. Let us start with the counting. God once said in Vayikra Chaf Gimel, "V'safartem lachem imachrat haShabbat, miyom haviyachem et Omer hatnufa, sheva Shabbatot temimot tihyana, ad mimachrat haShabbat hashviit tisapru chamishim yom." Okay. Basically, you're supposed to start counting the day after. I'm sorry, the day after the first day of Yom Tov, which is the day of the Omer. And that raises a question. Nowadays that we don't have the Korban Omer, do I say that the counting is no longer applicable on a Diraita level? Or do I say that the Psukim, and it really is a question of Parashanut in a way, or do I say for the Psukim is that the Pasuk instructs us to start counting from the day of the Korban Omer. It doesn't say from the Omer, but from the day of the Korban Omer, in which case it would still be Dioraita. Now, it's very interesting because the Rif and the Rambam, so as well as the Rav Yah or Zerua, Shibar Leket, all passing that it's a Dioraita, it's a Mitzvah Dioraita. And usually, Maran, as we know him, Beit Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, usually Paskins, when the Rif and the Rambam say the same thing, his rule, that's one of his rules, that usually Paskins like that. But here he deviates, and he says it's a mitzvah de Rabbanan, Zeich l'sviyata Omer. Okay? Which has a couple of nafkaminot. One might be the issue of Suffolk, which we'll talk about in a moment. There's some people that are makbid not to say Hinnini Muchan u'mezuman, because Hinnini Muchan u'mezuman, if we sing it through, we can get to the part that says Safartem lachem, right? Yeah. Right? Mimachrat pasha, right? And the Hinnini Muchan u'mezuman is saying, I'm now ready to do a mitzvah d'oraita, as it says so in the Torah. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's not a mitzvah d'oraita. So there's some people that refrain from saying that completely. You know, there was not to get into that issue whether it's the Oraita or the Rabbanan. Alright, the Gemara Menachot Samach Vav Amid Aleph says Mitzvah Limin Yomi Yomi U'Mitzvah Limin Yomi Shvui, and this also is a diuk from the Psukim, because the Psukim says Sheva Shabbatot Timimot Yana, and then it also says Tisapru Chamishim Yom, the next pasuk, Tisapru Chamishim Yom. So it refers to two different countings, a double counting, so to speak. The counting of the days as well as the counting to the weeks. And that's how the Gemara passes that it's a mitzvah to do this and it's a mitzvah to do that. As a matter of fact, the Beit HaLevi, in the Shut Beit HaLevi, we're talking about Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik I, okay, who was the grandson of Rabbi Chaim Mivolozhin, okay, wrote the Beit HaLevi. He mentions that since it's two separate mitzvot, if a person would forget to count the days and mess up on the days, he could still make a bracha when he counts the weeks, because he didn't mess up on the weeks. That's what he says in Shut Beit HaLevi. If you're interested in looking up, it's in Chelak Aleph Siman Lamed Tet. But upon inspection of that tshuva, it's not clear whether he means if a person messed up completely. And now, let's say he missed day 4, or missed day 4 and 5. And now it's day 7, and on day 7 he's going to count the first week. So, the Beit HaLevi says, you can make a bracha then. But what about the next day? What about on day 8? Could you make a bracha, or could you only make a bracha whenever the digit of weeks goes up? Meaning every 7 days, you can make a bracha. It's not clear. It's really not very clear. Alright. Another thing that the Torah says, going back to the pasuk, is that they should be timimot. Okay, sheva shabbatot timimot yena. It should be tamim. They should be complete. What exactly does it mean timimot? So the Bahag, the Baal Hilchot Gedolot, is of an understanding that timimot. One of the understandings of timimot means that it's one big unified mitzvah. Okay? And therefore, he was the one that more or less invented this issue, that if you forget one day, you missed it. You blew it. And therefore, you can't be mekayim this one big unified mitzvah anymore. And therefore, you can't make a bracha from that day on. The Shabir Aleket quotes Rabbeinu Yeshaya that says, each day is an independent mitzvah. So even if you missed a number of days, that's okay, you can keep on counting with a bracha. So the machlokas we've shown him, whether when you mess up on a day, are you allowed to continue counting with a bracha, or are you supposed to be keep on counting with a bracha or not? That's point number one. Another interesting machloket we've shown him is also involves the Bahag. The Bahag says that since the Mishnah in Megillah says that if you they weren't able to be kotzer the katsir at Omer at night when they should have been kotzer, so b'diavad it's kosher b'yom. Okay, and he says since the katsir at Omer b'diavad is kosher b'yom, therefore counting of the Omer b'diavad is kosher b'yom. So if somebody forgot to count last night, according to the Bahag, you count right now with a bracha. According to the Bahag, Rabbeinu Tam, however, says, wait a second. There's another Mishnah, Stam Mishnah in Menachot, that says b'diavad is posul liktzor b'yom. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam paskins that if you count in the day, it doesn't help. It doesn't count for anything, and therefore you couldn't make a bracha. And the day doesn't rectify anything. You can only count at night, and that's it. Okay. Once again, along comes the Maran Beit Yosef, and he says, what you have here is a double, it's two separate machlokot, but sometimes they'll coincide to form a sveik sveika. As an example, if I forgot, let's say there's someone in the audience that forgot to count last night. Okay, he just dawned on him now that he ran out of Marav quickly, okay, to go to the bathroom, and he wasn't there for one to count. He didn't count last night. So what do you do? So let's say he would count right now without a bracha. Because sofek bracha v'hakel, you can't count with the bracha, but you count right now, last night's counting. So then, the Beit Yosef, passing the Shulchan Aruch, says that you're in a situation now, tonight, when you're going to count, of a sveik sveika. Meaning, maybe the halacha is like the Bahag, that you're allowed to count in the day, and therefore your counting the day was valid. And you didn't miss a day, and you're still good, you have a streak, you can keep on making a bracha streak. Right? And even if the Bahag is wrong, and you're not allowed to count in the day, Rabbeinu Tam is right, another suffix is, maybe each day, Rabbeinu Yishayin, maybe each day is an independent kiyum, and therefore you can make a bracha, even if you messed up. So he says it's a sveik sveika. So in a situation of sveik sveika, you're allowed to make a bracha, you're allowed to keep on making a bracha. So that's one situation where even if a person forgot a night, you remember in the day, he counts in the day, without a bracha, so that in a few hours towards the evening, after tzeit, when he counts the next day, he's allowed to resume with bracha. Another situation the Shulchan Aruch applies a sveik sveika is when a person's not sure. Now, not sure could mean I don't remember if I counted or if I didn't count, or I don't remember if I counted the right one. A lot of times it happens to me when in shul they count a certain number. I say, wait a second, I don't remember counting the previous number. Did I count last night correctly or not? Right? So the Shulchan Aruch says that's also a sveik sveika. And it's a suffix if you counted the night before or not. Okay? And it's a suffix, maybe the Shibol Eleket, the Rabbeinu Yeshaya is correct that each day is independent. And therefore you're allowed to continue counting with the bracha. Okay? Last night I heard something that I heard somebody say that Rav Soloveitchik says that you could create another type of a sveik sveika, and that in his shul in Boston, he was knowing this. Let's say you have a bal tefila, that he's up there davening, and all of a sudden it dawns on him, I messed up, I can't make the bracha in front of the entire kahal. And that's extremely embarrassing, right? That the whole kahal realizes that I missed one of the days of counting. So this Rav said in the name of the Rav Zatzal, that the Rav would go up to the guy and say, listen, when you make the bracha, be mechaven to be motzi me the bracha. Okay? So that, whether that could be done or not, is a machlokes for a couple of different reasons. But it's a machloket. You know, according to some day out, he can be motzi. So he also said that you have like a sveik sveika. Maybe each day is an independent day, you can make a bracha for yourself. And even if it's not, according to some day out, you can make a bracha for somebody else. Okay? You could take that or leave it, I don't know. You know, I didn't hear it myself from a more reliable source, but it's a possibility. Okay. When's the proper time to count? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Hamedaktekim einam sofrim ad tzeit." That's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. If you're medaktek, you wait until after tzeit. And it's interesting because usually when it comes to dinei derabanan, we relate to bein hashmashot as though it's laila. But here, that's why he says the lashon of medaktekim, because he passes that it's derabanan. So mikra din, he holds you really can count bein hashmashot, but medaktekim wait until after tzeit. What if a person, so clearly, if a person counts on Bein HaShemashot, he's definitely Yotzei. And let's say you're worried, you're in a situation where you worry, you forget, it's not a problem really to count Bein HaShemashot. Of course, it's Lashon of the Medaktikim, wait until Tzeit. If there's some good reason pressing that you can't, then you can't. But what about the day? What about Miba'od Yom, which is very much tied to the sugi that we're doing now in Brachot? Is Miba'od Yom have a din of Laila in any way when it comes to Sphira? So the Mishnah Berurah Paskin said if a person should never ever count, you know, a person shouldn't count Miba'od Yom before Shkia. But what if a person did? So Mishnah Berurah says that you're Yotze B'di'evit. Okay? You're Yotze B'di'evit. If you remember, you should count again. If you made a bracha when you counted, either way, if you counted, you should make a bracha when you count after Tzeit. But B'di'evat, if you counted in the day, okay, like, even like an hour like now, if you counted meaning the coming number, so then you would be Yotzei. What if you find yourself in a minyan of people that are davening mamish early, okay, before Shkia even? I would tell you that if it's Bein HaShemashot, so I'd say B'Shas HaPchak it's okay, you know. But what if like you Mekabel Shabbos early? So usually in most minyanim, the Mekabel Shabbos early, they tell people to count at home. So very rarely, I don't know, does anybody go to a minyan, they count Miba'od Yom when the sun is out? You do. Okay. So in Eitzah that the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Griz, you've heard of the Griz? Huh? No, not that Griz. The first, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay, the Baal Shulchan Acharav. So he says that when you're in such a situation, what you should do is you should count with a tanai. You make a condition, and you say like this: before you count, you say, "I'm about to count." Okay, if I forget to count again after tzeit, I want this to be my mitzvah now. But if I'm going to remember in the future to count after tzeit, I don't want to have kavan to be yotze with this count. And you go ahead and you count without a bracha. Okay? And the Mishnah Berurah says to do this. And therefore, again, so if you remember after tzeit, so then you can count with a bracha. Because you had negative kavana. And if you didn't, if you don't remember, so you count it. So some lamdanim ask, how could you have kavana al tanai? That's what you want to ask? No? So there's some that question whether you can have kavana or tanai. I think that in these situations you can. But when in my younger years I was machman not to be makabel this tanai of the griz, and inevitably I messed up a number of times. Not, you know, being machmir, because it's very hard to remember if you don't count with your minion. Yeah.
Why don't you just wait till when you get home?
You might forget. And,
but if you say that, makes you know that you should count.
It's a risk.
Yeah.
You actually have to say it tonight, you just think it.
It's enough that you think it, but you should say it. But if you think it, it's enough. Yes.
So there's no reason to not be overly cautious and just like count that rough under the day, even if
you're like, mean anytime, I mean always do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's a little bit funny. If you're, you know, I think it's a little bit funny. Yeah.
If you've forgotten at that point, as in being on the logic, can you count
Yes, I think so. I think that if you remember before tzeit, it's enough of a safek to create a sveik sveika. I think it's still, I think that's enough, and you can count the next day with a bracha.
Even if they're not marshal,
you can't count twice within the banish marshal of the tachlis
sakri.
But after tzeit, you can count with a bracha. Yeah.
What's the earliest concept of Mibo Yom? Because I look at really count. For, it's not even that day yet.
Plagamin. Yeah. Okay. Another thing that's mentioned is that there's certain restrictions during the time of Sphere, of the Mitzvah of Sphere. Okay? And the time of the Sphere, Bipashit is said, the Mishnah Berurah says you should really be Makbid even starting Bein HaShemashot. The Ramah mentions that Kishigia Hazman Asurin Lachol Ad Shispor. When the time comes to count Sphere, you're not allowed to eat until you count the Sphere. Okay? Now, as some of you already started to learn, in the sugi that we're learning, it's questionable that you could eat before you daven Maariv. In other words, you have a chi of a Kriyat Shema, which is a chi of Diraita, right? It's questionable that b'chla, whether you're allowed to be Kovei Asuda during that time as well. So it's not just the union of Sphere, but the Chiddush is that they're also Makbid on Sphere. Now, we're talking about eating, we're talking about a meal, being Kovei Asuda. We're not talking about having a snack. A snack is fine. Okay? Mishabur adds on, not only shouldn't the person be Kovei Asuda, but a person shouldn't start a task, a malacha, that might, you know, get him to forget to count. If you started a Suda, you're allowed to finish it. If you started before Ben Shmasha, you're allowed to finish it. Now, why is it that in Yeshiva we have supper before Maariv? And the answer is, number one, you're starting your supper before Shkia. Okay? Number two, it's a Zman Shekorin L'Maariv. In other words, it's a place that it's built into the system that people will call you to daven and remind you to daven. And this is a heter that could be used also as far as Maariv and Kriyat Shema, that if you appoint somebody, a shliach, to remind you to daven Maariv, or to remind you, right, to remind you to say Kriyat Shema, then you're allowed to have a meal. You could even set your watch or your smartphone or even your dumb phone to go off in order to remind you to daven Maariv, and that would also be okay as far as eating a meal. Okay? Yes?
Does like the general atmosphere of everyone leaving dinner to go to Maariv count as a shaliach?
That's considered korin l'maariv, yeah. Yeah. Yes?
So that would apply to Sphere too,
Yes. Then comes the famous halacha. If your friend asks you, what are we counting tonight? Right? And the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to answer him, yesterday was such and such, and hope that he's good enough in math to be able to calculate what it is today. Now, I don't think a person has to be makbid. It's an interesting question. Like, from Plaga Mincha, should you be makbid on this? Since, according to some dayot, you would be the avad biyotzei, should be makbid on this. So it's brought down, the halacha is only brought down by Ben Hashmasho, not when the sun is still up. In any case, the Gra asks an interesting question: why is the Shulchan Aruch so makbid here? If he paskins mitzvot tzrichot kavana, like in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, the Shulchan Aruch paskins mitzvot tzrichot kavana. In order to be yotzei mitzvah, you have to have intention of being yotzei the mitzvah. So the Radvaz answers to be mechalik between mitzvah deraita and mitzvah derabanan, which is a pretty good answer. Meaning mitzvah deraita require kavanah, mitzvah derabanan, perhaps not. In any case, the Gra says that the Shulchan Aruch really doesn't mean it. In other words, he doesn't mean that you have to say to your friend yesterday it was. Just according to those shita, if you want to be machmir like the shita of mitzvah tzrichos kavanah. Anyway, that's one eitzah. The Mishnah Berurah gives a simple eitzah. The Mishnah Berurah says if you don't say hayom, or in English, today, if you don't say today is, you just say a number, then you're not yotzei. Okay, so you can answer your friend exactly what the number is, according to Mishnah Berurah, as long as you didn't say hayom. Another trick that you could use, that works according to everybody, is negative kavana. As your friend asks you, right after Maariv, what are we supposed to be counting, you could have negative kavana and tell him the actual whole thing. You could say Hayom and then read out the whole thing from the negative Kavana. But I explained to you the dangers of negative Kavana, right?
Yeah.
Right? Remember that. Yeah?
Is there any issue if you already counted and tell someone that you counted?
No, if you counted, then you could tell them straight out what it is. Yes?
Is there anyone who will that the days are not occupy each other? Because if they are, then you should be able to say what day it is. We said that there's a mixture of the weeks and the days.
So you shouldn't say either.
So you can be kind of one without the other?
Yeah. Now, if a person doesn't understand Hebrew, he should say it in the language that he understands, because it's a key of counting. It's not just, you know, parroting the words or saying the words. You have to be able to understand that you're counting. Yes, Hillel?
Do you write it to someone?
Yes, writing would not be considered counting. Okay, and that's basically, yes?
If you mess up, like, the Hebrew grammar in terms of the numbers.
No problem, it's no problem. Yeah?
Could you tell them what to say after they say it? Like,
what?
If they ask you, could you ask them if, like, a nocturne or a second? Let's just say the day of the Omer is 26. Could you tell them to say it's negative 26? Would that count as time of the day?
Negative 26.
You tell them, like, the negative number of the day. Would that kind of coming from the
day?
I guess. Okay. It's like some Jews. It's like some Jews count, like, not one, not two, not three. I don't know. My answer is I don't know. All right. Now we get to the Hugo Avails. Yes. I don't know. Yes.
If you do mess up and someone asks you what the day is and you accidentally say today is the 26th day.
So then you don't make a bracha. You count properly later, but without a bracha.
And then you continue counting
yes.
The next night.
Yes. All right. Now, there's a minhag of velus during Sfira, and that's because the Gemara in Yevamistaf Samach Bet Amud Bet tells us how 12,000 sets of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died during this period. Ask me afterwards, okay? Died during this period. The period from Pesach ad Pros ad Seret. Okay? But the Gemara doesn't talk about Avelut. The Gemara just states a fact that they died during this period. That's what the Gemara says. There's no mention at all of Avelut. Later on, in the period of Rishonim, the late period of Rishonim, and not all Rishonim, more of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, this Minhag Avelut is mentioned. The Lashon of the Tur is Shelo Laharbot B'Simcha, as opposed to his Lashon when it comes to Bein HaMitzarim, the 3 weeks, 9 days, etc., where he says Noagim Ketzat Avelut. Here it's Shelo Laharbot B'Simcha. So the question is, why doesn't it appear in the Gemara, and why all of a sudden does it appear in the time of the Rishonim, and not by all of the Rishonim, but some of the Rishonim? So the Chidah, and as well as the Taz and the Orach HaShulchan all explain that the real thrust or impetus of this Minhag of Avelut is because of the incredible calamity of the Crusades. Okay, a lot of us were raised, you know, in looking up to the noble, chivalrous knights, okay, and they were, you know, an example of perfection of human beings. But the truth is that they were murderers and rapists and spoilers of innocent people. I would imagine all of them, but maybe there's some, you know. They went around and they killed Jews. In other words, when the Pope called for a crusade, a lot of them said, let's practice on the Jews first, or why do I have to go all the way to the Holy Land in order to kill infidels? We have infidels right next door. And they went ahead and did horrible, horrible things to tens of thousands, maybe even more. And obviously, we're talking about the Middle Ages. It's very hard to keep a record of how many, but it was at least tens of thousands of Jews in many different places and different years. But inevitably, most of it fell out during these months, because if you're going to make a trip from Europe to the Holy Land, you're going to wait until the spring in order to be able to travel the roads. And that's how they started their crusades, by killing the Jews. And, you know, somebody asked me recently, how come we don't have an established halachic Yom HaShoah? Yom HaShoah was established by the State of Israel. Okay, and I answered him because we don't really have an Anshei Knesset HaGadola that could sit down and create a specific day. This was the Shoah. In other words, this was the worst Shoah that happened since the Churban HaBayit. Okay, the pogroms. Many more people died than the time of the Mered Bar Kokhba or the time of Rabbi Kiva. It was a horrible, horrible period. And that's why we have these new Hagevel. So you should keep in mind that it's a layer of things that happened throughout history. It's the Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, and as well as the pogroms. And that's why we do it. And I don't think a person should look, I don't think a person should go crazy creating new chumras that don't exist. But I don't think people should look to try to figure out all kinds of ways of being makil. Oh, there's a minute nothing to music, but that's only live music. Clearly, you know, there were goes on live music because they didn't have recorded music in those days. All those type of things doesn't make any difference. I have a friend that asked the Rav Zatzal when he was in Aveilut about recorded music or sad music, and the Rav said there's absolutely no difference. You don't listen to music. I'm just trying to put into perspective that you know, you shouldn't look to relieve yourself of this minhag. It's an important minhag to remember what happened. In any case, the Torah gives a list of things that people refrain from doing, mainly not to make weddings, okay, not to take haircuts. The Magen Avraham adds on that the minhag is not to do machol. Machol, the Mishnah Berurah explains, is dancing as well as singing, as well as live music, is asur. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says in Mefurish that tape music is asur. Rav Lichtenstein differentiates and says that if a person listens to tape music, not for listening pleasure, but rather for functional purposes, then it would be okay. What is a functional purpose? So the example he gave was if a person's driving late at night and he feels that he's getting tired and he wants to turn on some hard rock in order to jangle his nerves and keep him awake. Okay, so that would be using music for functional purposes. So if a person goes regularly to an exercise class, then they use music that everybody should jump up and down at the same time, the same beat, etc., to help them, you know, exercise at a certain beat. That's using it for a functional purpose. But it doesn't mean, for background music when I write letters to my parents or read a book. You should not listen to music for that, for those things. Yes?
To what extent should you try to avoid being in a situation where people are playing music for the time? Like, do you have to actually, like,
So, here I also think you have to put into proportion. Listening to music is not chazut treif. It's not like chazer. It's like if you're in a bus in Yerushalayim, and you know, and they turn on the radio, you don't have to throw yourself out the window, so that to save yourself from listening to music. Not only that, not only to throw yourself out the window, I don't think you have to get off at the next stop unless you're supposed to get off at the next stop. You don't have to get off. You could sit there. It's not a problem. You don't have to avoid that. I don't think you have to avoid if you go to the dentist and they're playing dentist music. So I don't think you have to like cancel your appointment and change it for some other time. When it's your, you know, when it's within your power, you should avoid listening to music. Yes?
Is there any union in this a cappella as opposed to listening to music?
So the truth is, Poskim spoke about singing, and they said that there's no minhag against singing. There's no minhag against singing. Now, there's some people that want to say, listen, you know, if it's recorded on a tape, so it's no different than a piano recorded digitally recorded or whatever. I don't think so. I don't think that you have to be machmir in that. I think that there's room to be mekel for a cappella. I could see a person being machmir if he wants to, but I don't think that you have to be machmir. Of course, a cappella is not music in the respect that it's not, you know, it's not instruments of creating music. It's singing, and there isn't a minhag not to sing. Okay. Even a cappella, when the guy is really good at imitating, you know, instruments, and it sounds exactly like an electric guitar or whatever it is, I don't think you need necessarily to be machmir for that. Yes?
Well, let's say the a cappella. Sometimes the a cappella, they throw their voices into the computer, and they use the computer to change the...
That's more problematic. That's more problematic. Yeah.
Is there any feel about like hook after piyav? Like if you're in a situation where someone you know in Hagia, there's no issa really. Like if you're somewhere.
If it's someone would listen to you right away, that's one thing. If a person you is not going to listen to you, so you definitely in this type of thing, you definitely shouldn't be pointing out to him. Now, just a second. I also want to put it in context. If you're listening to the news, and the news has a jingle before or after it, or in between, you know, news stories, I don't think you have to like dive across the room and quickly shut the radio. I'll tell you more than that. If you're watching a movie and it has background music, I don't think that that's really such a problem. It's kind of like being on the bus in a way. You're not interested in the music. I wouldn't listen to a musical, you know, but the instrumental background of a movie, I don't think is such a big deal. Now, there is a minhag that was developed in America about not going to movie theaters. And that applies to Sphere, applies to the 3 weeks, and it also applies to during a person's period of Yud Bet Chodesh of Aveilut. And the reason for that is that originally theaters were considered like a big, big, big deal. At Kdekach, the people used to get dressed up to go to the theater. It was a social event. So people could argue with me now it's no longer a social event, it's not a big deal. My father raised us that, you know, you don't go to the movie theater during those periods. If the person doesn't have the minhag, I don't think that you have to push it so much, but there is such a minhag of America of not going to movie theaters during that period. Wait, let me finish, and then if there's questions. Okay, about shaving. Now, so you all at Rav Lichtenstein Shiur on Shabbos. I don't have to talk about it, right? Oh? All right. Very quickly, in a nutshell. The Rav Zatzal was of the opinion that a person should shave every single day of the Sefira. And he felt that there's room to differentiate. And the reason for that was threefold. And when Rav Lichtenstein gave the Shiur 20-whatever years ago, he stressed there were 3 points. It wasn't one of these points. It was only because the 3 points existed. Number one, there's room to differentiate between taking a haircut and shaving. Okay, tesporet and teklachat are not necessarily the same thing. That's number one. Number two, the Rav felt that there's an inyan of a person who learns Torah and represents Torah to some people, like the Rambam points out, to look presentable. And therefore, going unshaven is, you know, it's not a good thing for a person who learns Torah to look like a slob. Okay? And thirdly, the Rav believed that minhagim don't develop in a vacuum, but they develop according to some pre-existing halacha that. Okay? In this particular case, he believes that this different nihugim of the 3 weeks, or the 9 days, and the sfira. Follow a pattern of Aveilut. Now, in Aveilut, there are 3 different levels of Aveilut. There's Shiva, there's Shloshim, and then there's Yud Bet Chodesh. Okay? Now, the most chomor, obviously, is Shiva, where a person, Mikra Din, isn't supposed to even shower. Never mind, you know, change his clothes. Okay? Then there's Din of Shloshim, where it's not a problem of showering, but a person doesn't really do his laundry. In other words, he uses whatever other means. And then there's Yud Beit Chodesh, that all these things don't apply. But what does apply is that a person doesn't take a haircut during that time. Ad sheyigar bo chavero. Ad sheyigar bo chavero, when his friend turns to him and says, "You look like a slob," or "Get a haircut already." That's ad sheyigar bo chavero, literally. It's machloket poskim, whether it's 30 days or 60 days, or literally when your friend tells you look like a slob. But that's the din of Yud Bet Chodesh. The Rav Zatzal felt that Sfira, since we are noeg to wash our clothes, there's no limitation on washing clothes. And by the way, there's no limitation on buying new clothes during Sfira and making a Shechianu. No one holds as a problem of Shechianu during Sfira. Okay? Therefore, the Rav said that therefore you could assume that the level of Nihug Aveilut is similar to Yud Bet Chodesh. If it's similar to Yud Bet Chodesh, so the concept of Ad Sheyigar Bo Chavero applies. Ad Sheyigar Bo Chavero applies when a person is not looks unkept socially is not acceptable, his appearance. So the Rav said when it comes to shaving, a businessman, even missing one day of shaving is not acceptable. A person who's a businessman, a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever, a professional doesn't show up to work unshaven even one day. And therefore, the Rav felt that for those three reasons, the proper thing is to shave every day, and that's what Rav Lichtenstein used to do. Until he came to Israel, and then he said, when he came to Israel, he looked to the right of him and left of him. He noticed that the Israelis are not in the same madrig of aesthetics as the Americans. And so he started to do it like every two or three days, he started to shave. And then, a few years later, he had a conversation with Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal, who obviously feels he shouldn't shave the entire sphere through, but he had a conversation with Shlomo Zalman, and Shlomo Zalman said, look, this Indian of shaving, if you want to, then shave L'Chavit Shabbos. And that's what Rav Lichtenstein did since. He shaves L'Chavit Shabbos. Okay? What to do during the 3 weeks and 9 days, you'll have to come to that shir. And we'll discuss it then. On Yom Ha'atzma'ut, so Rav Lichtenstein doesn't shave before Yom Ha'atzma'ut, but he would shave on Yom Ha'atzma'ut. In other words, when he used to give the Sicha, you know, towards evening, Ben Hashmash or whatever, he would be unshaven, and then everybody would go to the Misibah, and he would go into his office and shave, and then he would show up at the Misibah clean shaven. So he would shave on Yom Ha'atzma'ut, but not Likrat Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Now, he also feels that Yom Ha'atzma'ut is not a day that everything goes as far as Nihug Avelut, but rather things that pertain to the Simchat Hayom. In other words, he doesn't believe a person should schedule a wedding on Yom Ha'atzma'ut, because he doesn't think that the Nihug Avelut are suspended. They're suspended vis-a-vis the day of Yom Ha'atzma'ut, but not for other things. Okay? Pardon me?
No haircuts either.
One might argue not to take a haircut. I'm not sure. You could ask him that. It's an interesting question. To take a haircut on Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Usually, I would imagine not. But also, getting back to the haircutting, etc. Anybody halachically is mutter to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed is mutter during Sfira as well. An example: people that were anus because they were ill, or they were in prison, or women who shaved various parts of the body on a regular basis. There's no restriction during the 3 weeks. If Rosh Chodesh falls out on the Shabbos, Mishnah Berurah paskins that you're allowed to take a haircut L'Chavit Shabbos. And that's basically it. Now, when it comes to Lag BaOmer, let me speak about the different minhagim that we have as far as this Avelut. The Shulchan Aruch mentions one minhag from the second day of Pesach until Lamed Dalet BaOmer, which is a fascinating thing, which we'll talk about in a separate shiur on Lag BaOmer. The Ramah mentions a minhag from the second day of Pesach until Lag BaOmer. Okay? Another minhag is the Arizal, had a minhag of every single day, meaning from second day of Pesach all the way until 3 days before Shavuos to be noheg minhagi avelos. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein has two fascinating psakim or kulot. One is that in America, where you have a kibbutz goliot and everybody's all mixed together, it's not a problem if you switch your minhag from year to year. Because if you once lived in a community that everybody did it one way, then you have to do it that way. But if you live in an area that some people do it this way, some people do it that way, the same thing is true of Israel. Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that as long as you're holding to, you know, following, what is it, 33 days of Avelut, because that was the understanding that that's the amount of days that the Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim were dying for, so you could do either the earlier minhag or the later minhag, meaning you could start from the second day Pesach, you could start from until Lag BaOmer, or from Rosh Chodesh until Shavuot, and you don't have to be consistent from year to year. You could switch if you have a wedding, you know, that falls out one way, so you could switch it one way and back the other. I guess we're looking to see what he thought about that. And he said he wasn't all that excited about that kula. The second kula is even wilder, Rav Moshe Feinstein says. He says that the Torah says the minig is not to make a wedding. But it doesn't say that there's a minig not to go to a wedding. So therefore, if your friend is holding one minhag of aveilut, and you're holding the other minhag, and he's making his wedding on the time, you know, that you're noheg, obviously this applies just before Lag Ba'Omer, I mean, after Lag Ba'Omer, before Rosh Chodesh, so the coin of Moshe Feinstein, you can go to the wedding. Which is wild and crazy. I think it's wild and crazy, because, I mean, Lamaisa, that you'll have people dancing at the wedding with Sfira beards, as though they're in the middle, you know, as they're in the middle of Sfira, they have Sfira beards, and people do it. I'm sure you might have seen it. People are knowing like that. They do that. They follow this Rav Moshe Feinstein's heter, and I feel it's a little bit wild. Could be. Yeah.
Two questions. Number one, you mentioned that according to the Rav, minhagim don't develop in a vacuum, they develop from some pre-existing concept. So the idea not to go to a movie on a veil, you mentioned that developed in sort of like in a vacuum in America?
It's not a vacuum. There's a concept in Yud Bet Chodesh of lo yotzim b'shayara. See, in the times of the Mishnah, they would have like the social event where you go on like a big tiul, like everybody's going to be going on, let's say, Yom HaTzmut tiul. They'd go together. It would be like a social event that letzei b'shayara. Just that would be a way they used to socialize. And so by an avil, Yud Bet Chodesh is lo yotzim b'shayara, you don't do it. So it is mentioned not to socialize in a public fashion. It's mentioned in the Shulchan. Yeah.
So in theory, in Yom HaTzmut, if you say you can't go to a wedding normally on that, but in Yom HaTzmut, because they actually just do it.
Yeah.
If someone has another type of student as well, let's say bris, which you actually don't plan what's going to happen, can you like...
Is, yeah. No, Suras Mitzvah per se is not a problem. An issue more is music at a Suras Mitzvah. That's a machloka. According to Rav Yosef paskins that when Magen Avraham says mechol, he understands it as mechol shel reshut. And if you have a suras mitzvah, so the music is not shel reshut. And therefore Rav Avadya holds that if you have a suras mitzvah like a bar mitzvah or the type of thing, you can have music at that. Still can't have a wedding because it's mefurish the knowing not to have a wedding. But a bar mitzvah, according to Rav Avadya, you're allowed to have. The Mishnah Berurah is explicit that you don't have music at Sudas mitzvahs. At bar mitzvahs, etc., you don't. He quotes the Yavetz and Eliyahu Rabbah that say mefurish that you don't have music at bar mitzvahs.
What about dancing?
Same thing. Meaning music or dancing. You don't do it. Even dancing without music, you don't do.
So the bris yesterday sounds like there was.
Not a couple. Yes. Huh? So again, music on Atzmaut, that is the Simchat HaYom. That's what you could listen to. If it is your Simchat HaYom, so then that's fine. Yes.
So should the is application of the minhag HaAvelut during Pesach itself, like the beginning of the Sfira period, like be different?
Or there's no application really in Chol HaMoed. There's no application on Chol HaMoed. I didn't get it. I don't know if I remember. I got a chance to mention about shaving on Chol HaMoed to you. Did I before Pesach? Oh, so we spoke about it. Okay. All right. Just mention. I'll mention quickly. Most people don't shave during Chol HaMoed. It is a big discussion among the Achronim, and some Achronim really, you know, try their best to be makil. Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think, holds that if a person is mitztayer, he definitely can shave. The Rav Zatzal came up with a brilliant direction on it. And he says that since the whole, I don't have enough time, I'm sorry, but the Rav is a hold that you should shave every day. I'm not going to go into a whole explanation why. I don't have that much time. If I have time later, I'll go into it. Okay? Quickly, the issue of Hallel on Yom HaTzmut. The fact that Rav Lichtenstein doesn't say Ha'ala with a bracha on Yom Ha'atzmaut is not because he's less of a Zionist than your average Bnei Akiva person. Okay? Right? It's more because he believes, like the Rav Zatzal, that you need some kind of a halachic structure or pre-existing halacha that would allow you to say Hallel with a bracha. Okay, the Rav Zatzal not only did he not say Hallel with a bracha, he also felt that it shouldn't be put right, even without a bracha, it shouldn't be put right after Shmona Esrei, because it's a hefsek to the other tefillot, but rather to say it after davening without a bracha on Yom Ha'atzmaut. Rav Lichtenstein is not so machmir on that. He'll say Hallel without a bracha after Shmona Esrei. The yeshiva's minig is that the Shliach Tzibur says it. I can't tell you why, because from what I remember, Rav Amital Zatzal also didn't make a bracha on Yom Ha'atzmaut. However, on Yom Yushalayim there is a halachic structure for making a bracha. And that is Yom Shenasa Bones. One of the differences between Yom Ha'atzmaut is that the day was selected by Medinat Yisrael to celebrate independence. Okay, it wasn't a Yom Shenasa Bones. That day, no particular nase happened. Masha Enkein, in the Six Day War, when all 6 days were Nisim, whatever, but the culmination of those Nisim was Shechru Yushalayim. That Yushalayim was recaptured, and according to many, many poskim, that is seen as Yom Shenasa Bones, and not just on a personal level, which would have been enough, but on a national level. And for that reason, they make a bracha on with Hallel. Questions? Yes?
Is singing an issue for Yom Zikaron?
Who?
Is singing an issue for Yom Zikaron? Just going back to sing.
Ah, so I tell you. In 2 days you're going to be going to a tekkes in Kfar Etzion. I highly recommend that you go. Everybody should really go. It's a very, very important experience. They have musical instruments. They play music there. Okay, and maybe, you know, if I would be the grand rabbi of Gush Etzion and also people would listen to me, maybe I would tell them do a cappella or don't use instruments. But I fully understand that for educational purposes, in these type of situations, I think it's understandable. It's okay to use. Definitely okay to go to the tekkes and not to say, "Oh, I can't go to tekkes because they're playing music." Okay. Since I told you if I had time, yeah.
So with Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut, even though the male yeshivas to say a bracha, you say you shouldn't say a bracha.
I would say you shouldn't say a bracha. If the chazan says a bracha, you can answer amen and be mechavin, you know, but. Yeah. Okay. Now, getting back to shaving on Chol HaMoed. So what the Rav Zatzal said was like this. Originally, it was mutter to take a haircut and shave on any Chol HaMoed. But then Chazal saw that people were saving their time, so to speak, and being doche their haircut for Chol HaMoed when they had more time because they didn't work during that time, and that was a bizoyim because they would come into Yom Tov looking like a slob. So he made a special gezeira that you can't take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. And this is not just Pesach, we're talking about Sukkot as well. In order that people should come into the Moed, meaning come into the Chag, into Yom Tov, looking proper. And therefore they said that if someone's an anus, meaning he wasn't able to take a haircut because he was sick, or because he was in prison, or because he was on an overseas trip and wasn't able to take a haircut, those anusim are allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Okay? So the Rav Zatzal said that since nowadays the style is to shave every single day, and if you don't shave every day you look like a slob, so there's no way you could possibly shave Erev Chag to stay shaven all of Chol HaMoed. So vis-a-vis shaving, you are an anus. Now you did your best to look well and to shave, but you're an anus. You can't stop from looking like a slob on Chol HaMoed, and therefore the gezeira is not chal on people today vis-a-vis the shaving. I think it's a very good, very emissary way of understanding, and therefore he felt that there's a chiyuv to shave every day of Chol HaMoed. Yes?
Do you
So I've heard along those lines, if you, for whatever reason, don't shave on Erev Yom Tov, does that mean you're not allowed to shave on Kol Moed? Like, if you're like a teenager,
it's good swara.
For example, it doesn't go as fast.
It's a good swara. If you forgot to shave Erev Chag, then you shouldn't do it on Kol Moed. Yeah, good swara. Any other questions? None? Yes?
If someone normally like trimmed their beard, but they don't use it, no shave, do they have to shave it during Kol Moed?
You don't have to shave off your beard. If you have a beard, and Kol Moed, you have to shave
off
your
beard. No, I'm saying they have to trim it on Kol Moed.
Like no, because I don't think an untrimmed beard looks as bad as an unshaven face. No offense intended. Yes. Yes, Avi. I can't hear you, I'm sorry. I guess we really shouldn't call him the Grizz. The Grizz usually really does mean the Brisker Rav. We could say Grizz or the Alter Rebbe or... What? No. Before, it has to be before you're active of counting. Okay.